This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Seems right to put last night's Bills game on the list of those you may never forget. A classic we'll be talking about for many years. There are becoming a pretty good number of those, and you can't remember them all. I mean, I feel like each one of these reduces the others by a tiny bit. But last year, the stadium opening night, the comeback, 41-40. What a great night. Sal Capaccio with us now on the West Her Hotline. How about this game sort of historically for you, Sal? What was it like, and how do you think it'll be remembered? Of course, it will be.
Yeah, one of the certainly most memorable games I've ever been a part of as a professional, as a fan growing up in the stands. I've always said the two most incredible sporting events, well, I shouldn't say the two most incredible football games. I was at the 6-overtime UConn-Syracuse game. That's up there too. But two most incredible football games I've ever attended. One was the Cleveland playoff game, which I know you were at, Mike, as
yes.
Well, 89 divisional round. And the other was 13 seconds, right? And those are the two, and unfortunately, two losses for the Bills, but just the unbelievable games those were. Now, we've had some games over the years here which have been pretty incredible, like the Vikings game, where you just can't believe how things happen near the end, right? This, though, for the Bills to come on top and the euphoria in that stadium to be on that end of it, you had a caller earlier just say, you know, your Bills always were on the other end of that. So for that reason, I definitely put it up there with one of the most memorable, crazier games I've ever been a part of.
Sal, how noticeable to you, if it was noticeable at all, maybe this is news to you, I, watching at home, I could hear what I assume were Ravens fans chanting MVP at different times during the game when Jackson was making plays. And I wonder if you noticed that, and like that only enhances the reputation this game will grow with over time. I mean, certainly how this season ends up going for the Bills. Do they get the one seed? Do they go all the way to the Super Bowl? Do they have the one seed in part because they beat Baltimore in this game? Then we'll always remember it, of course. But the fact that the Ravens were so, it seemed, I don't want to say reportedly. I mean, I saw plenty of quotes from guys. Like, they wanted this game. They wanted to set the record straight, which I think is a little absurd for a team with the kind of goals they should have, just like the Bills. Like, I don't need vengeance for a playoff loss in September. I need it in January. But whatever. They poured a lot into it. And then you've got the specter of the of it looks like a blowout in their favor, and the fans there are chanting at Lamar MVP in Josh Allen's place. Man, the fact that the Bills came back and smacked it, I wonder if Allen noticed that and if that was a part of why he was so fired up on the field after the game. Like, he's screaming at Matt Prater after this game is over at one point on the field when they're hugging it all out. Did you notice fans chanting MVP for Lamar?
Very little of the chant. I did hear a little bit of it. But I don't want to take away from your point, because I did hear a lot of Ravens fans. And it was noticeable in the national anthem. I don't know if you know, but when you go to Baltimore, because of the Orioles and the O's, yeah. Mm-hmm. At the end of the national anthem, when the word O comes out of the person singing, the crowd in a Baltimore fans, they say, oh, like that. Mm-hmm. And that was very noticeable. It was noticeable in the AFC divisional playoff game. So when I heard that, I'm like, ooh, they're here. I saw them when we were doing our pregame roundtable and pregame show out in the parking lot. I didn't hear the MVP chants as much. I heard a lot for Josh. So I can't speak on if Josh heard it or fueled him or anything like that. Now, the vengeance part. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, though. They wanted this game for that. I mean, but anytime you're left with such a sour taste in your mouth and you feel like you should have won and put a team away and get to what your goal was, which in that get to the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl, you're going to want to do that. It actually reminded me, you know, when the Colts came here, guys, that was what they wanted to do because they had just lost the year before to the Bills.
Right.
They lost in the playoffs the year before, and I remember that was a big deal for them, that they wanted to make sure they kind of, as you say, set the record straight and kind of atone for that loss, and they did it in a big way. So I understand when that happens with teams. Didn't the Bills years ago open up Sunday Night Football with Alex Van Pelt the year after Home Run Throwback? And that was like a talking point going into the year. So I can understand that. Whatever you can use, whether it's manufactured or real, I think you try to use that.
Johnson, but yes, that's right. 2000.
Thank you.
Opener with Tennessee.
Yes.
Well, for me, I guess, Sal, I'd have to say, even though the Bills come out on top here, when a 15-point comeback happens in such little time, you think about how the team that lost. Like, what didn't Baltimore do to be able to close it out with a 90% plus win probability? What would you say to their strategy or what happened with the Ravens late here? Of course, there's the Oliver play on Henry for a fumble. That's a football play. That's not something necessarily that Baltimore, you know, where there was a lapse. But I don't know. What would you say about how the Ravens handled the last, I guess, 5 minutes, or even include their previous possession, if you want, where they were stopped?
Great question. I think it's a pretty deep answer for a lot of things because of what the Bills did as well. And I say that, Mike, because I just want you to know, if you want to talk about it, I asked Sean McDermott specifically about the two-point conversion decisions being in that situation. And, you know, there's a lot of what you could do in those situations. And it relates to what you just asked, because Sean said, when they first scored, when they were down 15 and they score the first time, they go for two. And the reason is now I've always kind of thought you go for one there because then you kind of can still make it a one score game. If you don't make it, it's still a two score game. Like, why would you do that? You want to get yourself into a one score game. Sean said today, just a little while ago, he said the first time they did it was because there was a high scoring game and they wanted to know, hey, if we miss it, because we have some time on the clock, we can still need to know what we need to do, right? Then the second time it happened, they're down 15. Now they go for one. And here's where your answer is. He said, we wanted to make sure they had to play offense. And I agree with that. And in that
make
situation,
make it a one-score game. Yeah.
Make it, you make sure you put a little pressure on them to have to play the game. They can't just ride it out, right? They can't and the Ravens had to make decisions. They had to make decisions on how to play it. And I think they should have, A, kept Lamar Jackson in shotgun and kept running that read option because they were having success. They didn't do that. I think they just really felt in the first play. If you look back, so the Bills get the ball 7, by the way, 7-1-6. They got the ball 7-16 left. They go down, they score. They then give the ball to the Ravens, and Lamar gets the first down. And then on the next play, that's when Henry fumbles. He's in I formation. I think shotgun versus under center is key here for me. If you're in I formation, you don't have that read option ability. Now, you can boot with Lamar, but that's not what they do. That when he leaves, when he gets out the gate, it's because they're running they're out of shotgun and running the option. When they're in I formation, everybody is loaded up to stop Derrick Henry, and that's what the Bills did. And because they had so much around the football, now suddenly Ed Oliver's scraping at it, they get the ball out. So now the Bills, they go down and score again. Ravens get the ball back again. They line up in I formation and he gets 1 yard. Now they do go to shotgun, but what do? They're not gonna throw because an incompletion stops the clock. If you're the Bills, you can still creep up and say, I don't care, you're in shotgun. He's either running it or it's a short pass. Well, guess what they did? They handed it off to Zay Flowers. Right? So to answer your question to me, I just think the Ravens played right into the Bills' hands once the Bills said, we're gonna make you play football and you're gonna have to make decisions. And the Ravens' decision was, we'd rather try to run this clock out instead of trying to get a first down.
That's all really good. Jackson takes a big hit from Oliver on third down.
He does.
The pass to Hopkins. I thought, you know, if I'm Baltimore, I'm not giving the ball back here, but he wasn't, you know, in perfect shape there after that hit. What else did you see on their fourth down decision?
I saw Bills defenders guarding the first down line and saying, we cannot give this up. And Christian Benford made a great open field tackle. I mean, that's what you pay that guy to do. It's not just being a really good corner. It's making sure he understands the situation and what they're trying to accomplish. The Ravens were still, they did not want to throw the ball, you know, deeper than, you know, 10 yards and risk some sort of turnover, but even an incomplete pass because it's going to stop it. They wanted to keep the clock running. They wanted to make sure the Bills had to use timeouts or they could have the clock run. And I think actually in that situation, that might have been a 2-minute warning anyway right after that play, right? But the Ravens were certainly not in a position that they wanted to take a risk. They didn't want to take a chance. They just turned the ball over a little while ago. So I guess at the end of the day, if I'm in Baltimore, I'm saying they just played too conservative. They basically did exactly what the Bills wanted. They stayed conservative, and ultimately they gave the ball back to the Bills. Now, there is a debate. Should they have gone for it? Sure, we could be in Baltimore right now debating, and we could all do it anyway in Buffalo. Should the Ravens have gone for it? But Lamar was hurting. I didn't know and see until today, like, what happened there on that play with that Oliver. I know some people want a late hit. I didn't think so. He, from what I see, takes one step, and Lamar actually steps into him a little bit as he releases the ball. He just lays a hit on him. He doesn't hit him in the head, right? I mean, so I didn't think that at all. But Christian Benford made that play, guys. Christian Benford made that play. And I don't know if he gets the first down anyway, because there's another defender there, but it was a really nice open field tackle.
Sal, the throws down the field, the Palmer throw, the Coleman throw that got them ultimately in position to kneel and kill the clock and then kick the field goal. I felt like the Bills almost had to be forced at gunpoint to throw the ball down the field. Now, I don't know if that's Brady and the play calling. We talked with Eric Wood a couple hours ago, and he mentioned how, you know, it could be Allen switching to different looks. He's thinking, here comes a blitz, so quick receiver screen, that kind of thing. But, man, once they started going downfield, and it stands to reason that Baltimore would have been defending against that more so than they would have been earlier in the game, I would think. Although I don't know this, but it would just stand to reason. You're trying to not give up chunks there, and all they did was get chunks. I mean, what a throw by Allen to Palmer. Holy cow, Sal.
I agree completely. I remember last year, there was a throw against the Jags. I believe they played the Jags at night, or Tennessee. I can't remember which game it was. Early season.
Jacksonville was a night game.
Thank you. And Josh throws a ball near sideline scoreboard end, so going to the left side, and it's to Ty Johnson right in the corner of the end zone. And it was one of the most incredible passes I've ever seen coming right at me, because I'm standing right there at the pylon. And after that game, I went up to Josh in the locker room, and I said, holy cow, that's one of the greatest passes I've ever seen. I don't know how you do it. And he said to me in that moment, I'll never forget it. He goes, yeah, I kind of discovered something in my in a little technique this week, and I had to tinker with it a little bit and really was dialed in on that throw. And I'm thinking, how good are you to say something like that, right? When you say that little thing. So I watched the throw to Palmer, and I'm thinking, is this the same kind of thing here? And I think back to the videos we saw at Hard Knocks and Chris Hess and how he's tinkering with all these little throws. And I mentioned to Chris Hess, I saw Chris Hess a couple weeks ago, and I talked to him about this, and he said to me, Sal, what people don't understand is Josh is still ascending. He's always getting better and working on little things that people don't understand. And even at his elite level, he's still getting better, and people don't realize that because of those little tiny details. Well, here we go. Here's this throw. You haven't seen that all game. There's that throw right over the top of the defender. Now, and I said to Josh after the game, oh my God, like, again, here you go. You did it. Now, he didn't say anything about the technique, but he said, I saw man-to-man. I was Jair Alexander. I knew I could fit the ball over the top. And I said, I just, you know, put it in there. And obviously, Josh made a great route. So I just think everything was really dialed in at that time.
I know fans have probably seen everything. I mean, if you're on social media, you're seeing different highlights and different angles of different plays. But what really stands out to me on that throw is how much it looks like him from the Hard Knocks thing. Sale. It's so in a game. That's it right. Is so, I'm going to use your word, intentional. Like his mechanics on that throw are like created in a lab, and he's on the field in the cauldron of this game trying to mount like a game winning field goal drive with no timeouts. And he is just absolutely precision locked in mechanically. It's so impressive.
Do you know what I like think about when he told me that answer, that specifically he mentioned Jair Alexander? Like Josh mentioned him, right? Talking about it a little bit. Like he was there. And it was just interesting. He's like, yeah, I saw Alexander on him and I threw it. And maybe he's just noting, you know, the different matchups. That's fine. But like, you know, maybe that's part of intentional as well, right? That you're just, you know, you have a guy that hadn't been practicing, hadn't been playing, and all those little things matter. And then Josh fits that ball in there. Remind me of that San Francisco throw a few years ago on Monday night in Arizona.
That's exactly
COVID
what I said
year.
Earlier. Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. I didn't even hear you do that. That's great. Yeah. Like, he knew exactly where to put it. But that wasn't, I mean, guys, the throw to Ty Johnson that Ty didn't catch, incredible. Right? I mean, like, incredible to put it right there. And by the way, while we're saying this, the throw that Lamar made to DeAndre Hopkins was unbelievable as well. Incredible. Just the one spot that he could put that ball for DeAndre Hopkins to catch it.
Sal Capaccio here with just for just a few more minutes. What do you have to say about the defense last night?
They have to be better at stopping the run. We just talked with Bobby Babich, and he knows that, and he was very adamant by...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Saying we are going to be, here's the word again, Bulldog, very intentional about correcting that, right? Like he was very adamant about that. You know, one of the things that's happened here, though, is, and this is not an excuse, right? I mean, I say things like this. I don't want anybody to think I'm getting an excuse, but, you know, you analyze these games, and when you see it play out, why is this happening to the Bills? Well, in this particular game, the Bills did not have a ton of time on task for some of these guys. I know you had a caller call up about preseason. I think that's part of it, but also the injuries, right? Cole Bishop with Taylor Rapp and where they're playing and all that. And one thing I noticed in this game, the Ravens did a really good job. And I asked Bobby Babich about this, and he said, no doubt. And he agreed with me. From my eyes, I said, the Ravens did a really good job of up-tempo, going quick, not giving the Bills time to set up. And in that environment, when it's really loud and the Bills defense has to communicate, they have to see what they're doing and then communicate. And the Ravens didn't give them a chance to do that. So that's why a lot of the timing was off, I think, from some of their blitzes. I think the Bills were kind of, I'm not going to say not ready, but they were still kind of processing what the Ravens were trying to do and lining up. And the Ravens, they didn't use a lot of motion in those situations. They went up to the ball, they snapped it and said, okay, here we come, bam. And the Bills didn't react quick enough. And I think that's an area where the Bills are hurting this week because of the lack of reps together in preseason.
Yeah, an example of that is the play that fans will probably remember because the way it was presented on the telecast was, when do you see a player blitz from that far back? Cole Bishop was way back, and I think the Ravens quick-snapped and surprised everyone, and he still came. But I imagine that the design, he's supposed to be creeping, but there was no creeping because Baltimore went so quickly, and then he still just blitzed anyway, which was futile because he was like 15 yep. yards off the line of scrimmage. You know, in that case, maybe a more experienced player, here's time on task, would say, oh, they snap quick. It's stupid for me to blitz. Let me find something else to do here that might be useful, right? Cover somebody. I don't know. Get to an open space and just try to, you know, make yourself a factor on the play because blitzing from where he blitzed from on that play yep. was utterly pointless.
Sal, we got to wrap this up. I just want you to know this, because you love a nugget. We had nuggets the other day. You love a nugget. Mm-hmm. Tonight, it's Minnesota-Chicago. Every touchdown scored in the league so far in week one has been on a rush or a catch. All offensive touchdowns. Never Ooh. In the history of the league, when 14 games or more were played, did an entire week go by without a defensive touchdown or a return. So that's on the line tonight. I don't know how much time Aikman will spend on this, but that is that record, sort of record, is on the line tonight. You might want to know that.
Thank you. I'll be on the lookout.
I might behave accordingly on my gambling app of choice with this information.
I could see either team scoring on defense right. pretty equally. Right. All right. Thank you, Sal.
You got it. Guys.
There you go. That's our man, Sal Capaccio, on the Wester Hotline. His appearance is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Minnesota, small favorite. 1.5. Yep. 1.5, 43.5. Bet Sweats this morning was talking about Bills Jets, how it went, I don't know which direction. They saw 6.5 for the Bills. It was 8.5 last week, the look ahead. At the Jets, but the Jets got a little bit of
respect. It makes sense
respect.
That the Jets got, yeah, I mean, the Jets were good, very good in a loss. A loss, albeit, but still very good.
That'll be, you know, the talking point with the spread, the Bills game, that whole Sam and Joe business about running through the 7. I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about that later this week with them. Earlier today, Eric Wood joined us from his home in Louisville, recapping last night's game, the emotions, the comeback itself, and more. We'll have that conversation for you coming up. Football Monday continues. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back with Eric Wood here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.